Welcome to this episode of Journeys of Discovery. I'm Elaine Masters. It's a lovely day here in San Diego. You're going to hear some noises because I'm sitting outside in Mission Beach, and there's boats, there's kids playing with balls, and people running around. But I am here with travel writer and author Maggie Espinoza. She has hiked over 800 miles to every California mission, and the adventure, her travel notes, her pictures are now in a beautiful book called On a Mission, an 800-mile walk to discover California's El Camino Real. Welcome, Maggie.
Thank you, Elaine, for having me.
Now, you don't consider yourself a hiker. You're not a camper, and the grueling Pacific Crest Trail isn't on your bucket list. What inspired you to go for a walk to every single California mission?
I know. It sounds funny, doesn't it? You know, I did not know anything about the missions when I moved here. I'm not from here. I'm from the East Coast. And so I moved out here, and I had heard about these missions. I'm like, wow, this is really fascinating. You know, the history, et cetera, and the Spaniards coming or anything. So I had gone to the mission San Diego a couple of times, thought it was beautiful. And I said, okay, you know what? It would be kind of fun to see more of these. Well, lo and behold, I read an article in Westways magazine about a gentleman that had walked to all 21 missions. And I said, bingo, that's it. I'm going to walk to the missions.
Did you plan to make this into a book? What was propelling you besides just going?
I didn't. I am a travel journalist by trade. And so I thought, well, you know what? I'm going to do this. I'm going to pitch this idea to some of the newspapers. And I pitched it to the San Diego Union-Tribune. And they said, oh my gosh, we would love to have that story. And we want to run it in January, the first Sunday in January, as kind of a new year, new you. Here's an idea of what you could do. So I said, okay, so I have to be done and I have to have it turned in by December to run in January. So I said, okay, that's what I'm going to do. No book was on the horizon at all. It was really just going to be an article. But as the walk continued and as I became much more vested into this walk, I couldn't believe how much this walk just started to, you know, just come into my life and turn things, you know, and it became such a huge part of my life. And people said, this needs to be a book. And that's when it kind of, the idea came to, you know, calcify it and said, okay, it's a book.
It wasn't any kind of religious background or anything else along that line?
You know what? I go to the Catholic Church. My husband is Catholic. I do believe in God. I pray, all that. But that is not what this was about. This was about solely kind of taking a mission, and I hate to say that because that's it, but a mission to learn more about California and to learn about the history and to learn, you know, like, can I do it? Could I do something like that?
How did you train? How did you prepare for this?
Well, you know, it's so funny because at first, well, I started out, I sent an email out to a whole bunch of people and I said, I'm going to walk the California missions. Does anybody want to join me? And my husband said, nobody's going to want to join you. You know, who wants to walk all that? Well, lo and behold, I had so many people said, I would love to join you. And so I was like, great. So I said, okay, well, just train. You know, we're going to do 80 miles over a 4-day period. And so I got on a treadmill and I put a board across the handles of the treadmill with my computer so that I could walk as I do work as I was walking, you know, because I had to train quite a bit for it. So I did that and that worked out well as I was starting. But what happened is after I got about 200 miles into this walk, maybe 250, I noticed that the exact opposite was needed. I needed to come home. And when I was home for those 3 weeks, I needed to not walk at all. Because basically what I was doing was an ultra marathon every 3 weeks.
Oh boy.
Yes. And I am not a young woman. I did it at the age of 54. And so I was really feeling it. And so instead of training, I rested, knowing that I had to hit the road again and do another 80, you know, to 100 miles.
It's counterintuitive, but that's what you learn through
experience. Yes. I learned a lot through experience. Yes, I did. Yeah. I learned, you know, of how you take on something this large.
But you did it in 4-day chunks. For the whole 800 miles?
Yeah, so what I did is because I work, I couldn't take the whole... The gentleman who had originally done this, who I read about in Westways, he walked the whole thing straight in 55 days. He was retired, you know, and so, and honestly, you know, because I work, I couldn't do that. But honestly, I couldn't walk 55 days straight. I don't have that stamina. I really don't. So I said, well, this would be a great way to connect with family, friends, and do this. Still work, still accomplish this. So I divided it up to 10 months, 80 miles every month. So I'd walk for 4 days, come home, work. Walk for 4 or 5 days, come home, work. And that's how I ended up going. And I would take the train to where I had left off the month before or the 3 weeks prior. Then I would come walk my 80 miles, take the train home. Then I would take the train back to where I left off. So that's how I got back and forth until I got too far north to where I had to fly. And then I would fly. And at that point, I was adding more miles on. Because it was too, you know, it was like, I'm here, I flew here, I'm going to walk further. You know, and so I ended up then like putting in 140 miles or whatever.
Okay, so as a girl, as a girlfriend, I find myself thinking, okay, how do I pack for a trip like this? What do I bring with me? You were not backpacking.
Oh, I had a backpack, yes. I didn't sleep, I didn't camp, but I had a backpack because what I had done is I knew that in the course of the 4 days, I was going to walk from A to B, you know? So I would plan out my first day, let's say I'd walk 19 or 20 miles. I would pick a hotel that was 20 miles up that road. I would make it, and it was a motel, okay? Nothing fancy. And so I would have to carry my backpack because then I would leave the next day and walk another 20 miles and stay at a different hotel. What was so funny because when I first started out, you know, in my backpack, I had all this stuff. I had, you know, 3 pairs of shorts and 4 this and da-da-da and all this. I am telling you, by the time I got to like March, it was like, who needs a hairbrush? I don't need a hairbrush. Who needs a toothbrush? I don't need, you know.
Oh, my.
I mean, so I literally was down to taking my toothbrush, toothpaste, sunscreen, a hair twisty, and I had gone out and bought T-shirts at, like, Costco that I could wear and throw out, you know, uh-huh. that you paid, like, a dollar for. Uh-huh. And I wore the same pair of shorts the whole time. I wore the same compression socks. I mean, literally, I looked homeless by day 4. But it was like by the 4th day, there was no way I could have this huge, right. heavy pack. I was right. just too exhausted. So it needed to get lighter and lighter.
So you just mentioned compression socks. I'm always concerned about feet when you're traveling because,
oh,
you know,
word.
as a tourist even, you know, I love to walk to see places. Mm-hmm. So tell me about how you took care of your feet.
You know what? Feet are, anybody I talk to that does any kind of thing, whether it be the Camino de Santiago, this Camino, the Calmino, as we've nicknamed it for California, whatever, feet are always the problem because you can only do so much. And what happened is I would start out and I had a pair of, you know, Merrell shoes on, which are just regular shoes. Well, I needed to then get a lighter shoe. It was too heavy for that kind of mileage, and a lot of it would be on pavement, you know, in the Southern California portion. Then I had to allot for the fact that my feet were swelling. They were getting more and more and more swollen. So I had to go out and buy a pair of shoes that were a size too big for me.
While you were on the trail?
When I came back. So for the next time, then I went out and bought another pair of shoes. And then I had to realize, you know what? My toes are rubbing together. I need to put something in between. So I had to put moleskin. Then I realized I had to get toe socks. Then my calves were, you know, so every time I was on the road, it was a learning experience. Mm. You know, and then that's when I realized the compression socks because my calves, the thing that was so counterintuitive, you would think that at the end of the day, you would go to bed and you would fall into bed and be asleep in like 10 seconds. But after you were walking like that, like your legs couldn't stop. My legs were just kept kind of moving and moving and, you know, just I had the hardest time getting them to just calm down. Compression socks help quite a bit with that. And with them not being quite as tired as they were in the beginning.
An ordeal.
Yeah.
but okay, so we've talked about some of the nitty gritty. What were some of the glories of the trip?
You know what? There were so many wonderful things. You know, the people that I met were amazing. The strangers that I met were amazing. And I know that whenever I talk to anybody about this trip, that I always mention this because it is the thing that blew me away the most. I mean, people that I never met in my life would go on Facebook and go, oh, please stay with my wife and I. You're going to be walking right by our house. We'd love to make you dinner. Do you like lasagna? Or, oh, we'll make you breakfast. I mean, and I have never, ever met these people. You know, and this happened over and over and over again. It was not just a one-time thing. And people who I never knew would say, can I walk with you? I'd love to walk with you, you know. And they would just join me and off we go and didn't even know each other. And we would walk for days together. I mean, it was just so amazing to see how this Royal Road or the Royal Highway, you know, the King's Road, King's Highway, those are the two nicknames, how it brings these people together. We all had this common bond. I walked with people who were flight attendants, architects. I walked with a Franciscan friar, a medical writer, you know, like the people that I don't have anything in common really with them, but this experience, and it really, really melded us all together.
It seems like we don't have big missions, as it were, that are physical and incorporate history and place to really share. So you tapped into something there, I think.
I did, and it's still relatively new. Everybody knows, well, most people know about the Santiago over in Spain. It is a 500-mile walk, and it's the same concept, but it has been around so long that they have built an infrastructure that makes this a rare, I'm not going to say easy, it's not easy, but at least there's restaurants, there's hostels, there's that. This is so new. When I finished, I was only the 11th person to ever have done this. And so there is not the infrastructure. You can walk for hours and hours, and there's not a place to get water, or it's on a road that there's a lot of cars, you know. So it needs there's a group called California Mission Walkers, who I love, and this group has just grown and grown. It's amazing. People from Australia have joined in, everything, and the group of California Mission Walkers are people who are enthusiasts and who love the missions and love this whole ordeal of walking to the missions.
And you can find them on Facebook, I believe.
On Facebook, California Mission Walkers.
And it is a closed group. You have to apply to be part of it. Probably
Just hit like. You say, I want to be there, welcome. You know, and it's gotten to the point now where we've had patches made that people put on hats, you know. And we have done things. So this group is just becoming bigger and bigger and bigger. And I don't know, maybe I see someday that this will be a destination hike. You know, maybe it will be in the next 10, 15 years.
So you come back and you're starting to share some of the stories, and you realize all the pictures and the journal you were keeping and everything really needed a more permanent home that you could hold in your hands. You made a book.
Yeah, it did. And I think the reason that came to fruition was because, as I mentioned, I would journal at the end of every day's walk on Facebook, just for friends and family and all that to read. And I always wrote at the end of the day because that's when it was the most real, you know, because that's when I could just feel the day and I could put it on there and I could tell people about it. And then I would take a lot of photos. I put the photos of what I was journaling about. And so the book, at first when I thought, oh no, I'm not writing a book, and everybody said it has to be a book, at first I thought, well, am I going to sit down and now start a book? And I thought, no, because I have too much time removed now. I would not write the same book as the journaling that I journaled when I was actually on the road and in the throes of the walk. And so I said, no, you know what I'm going to do, though? I'm going to turn this journal and the photos into the book. And that's what people have responded to the most to me. They really have said to me, it really resonated, because I could feel times when you were crying. There were good days I was crying. You know, I was just like, why am I doing this? Really, I would be like, this is crazy. I don't have to be doing this, you know? And there'd be other days where I go like, this is glorious. I'm walking on the beach and the sun's shining, and it's just, it's the two extremes, you know? Really, really wonderful. And that's what the journal shows.
And the book itself, how can people find it?
They can find it a couple places on Amazon. They can find it on a mission, or they can find it on my website. I have a website that is travelwithmaggie.com, and there is a tab that says books, and you could purchase it there as well. And I will be happy to sign it for you and personalize it and stuff when you buy it.
Anything else you'd like to share with us about hiking, taking on a quest, a pilgrimage?
You know, I tell people that if they are thinking of doing something of this magnitude, something huge, that what I think they need to do first is do a small portion of it. So for this example, it would be walk from the San Diego Mission to the Oceanside Mission to the San Juan Capistrano Mission. That will be an 80-mile trek. That will give you a good idea as to whether this is something I really don't feel like I need to do or want to do, or yes, I want to continue. I want to keep doing it. So give it a try before you take on the whole thing.
And even that would be quite an accomplishment for most people.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of people that have done that. Many people have, where if they live close to a mission, they've taken on a little, like a little chunk of the trail.
And be sure to tell your friends and people that
yes.
you think might be interested. Who knows who you would meet on this journey?
Have them come along. That was the beauty of it. Oh, my word. It was so fun. Like, my nephew flew out from Philly. I got to spend 4 days just talking about everything with him. When do you get to do that? I mean, rarely. We're all just way too busy. You know, so yes, take it also as an opportunity to connect.
So I have been talking with Maggie Espinoza. And if you're listening and you are inspired to follow in her footsteps and explore a little bit of California, take a look at her book, On a Mission, An 800-Mile Walk to Discover California's El Camino Real by Maggie Espinoza. I'm Elaine Masters, and thank you so much for listening to Journeys of Discovery.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomascwilmer.com. Our associate producers include Melissa Corbin reporting from Tennessee, Rebecca Nolan, Newfoundland, Canada, Kim Schneider from Michigan, Elaine Masters in San Diego, Julie Henning, Eugene, Oregon, Rebecca Bingham, Hot Springs, Arkansas, and Steve Cook contributing from Little Rock, Arkansas, host of Arkansongs on NPR affiliate KUAR.